This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Resource Centre. I'm Maya Tan. Now, this time last week, we heard from Geeta Kandaya of CAS International, who gave us an update on the world of intellectual property. So if you missed that episode, do download the podcast on www.bfm.my. And she's back again in the studio today with a different topic related to IP. Are apps patentable? Welcome back, Geeta.
Thank you, Maya, for having me back.
So everyone wants to be the owner of the next big app. But, you know, for every WhatsApp, for every WeChat, there are a dozen other similar apps out there filling the same purpose, which begs the question, you know, how are apps being protected in terms of IP?
That's a very good question. In this day and age, very often the client that walks into our office is usually going to talk about an app. Mm. And it's a very popular topic. In fact, Flurry, which is a US-based company, they did some statistics on how often are apps used by the people in the US. And they found that only 12% of people, when they use their smartphones, actually use browsers. The remainder are on their apps. Mm-hmm. It could be various apps. Facebook itself is an app, and then it could be various games. But if only 12% of people are browsing and the rest are on apps, that shows that how big the market is in terms of users of apps. In regards to how are they protected, it's a very interesting question because it's a very gray area that apps fall into. Apps is a software, and softwares always surround inventions in the domain of information and communication technology, ICT, and computer-implemented inventions, CII. These are terms used which incorporate softwares into their inventions.
Okay.
And it's very new technology, so these are evolving technology. And patent laws in all the countries, which are already established for many years, then have to involve themselves to then allow for apps to be protected. So most patent offices don't have a definite guideline for examining inventions in this domain. But the quick answer to the question is, how are they protected? The quick answer would be that it's either by copyright or patents or both.
You can have both.
Yeah, you can have both as well.
Right. But what's the difference between both rights and what do they mean to the owner of the app?
So when you look at a software, it has source codes. Most of it has programming languages in the software and it achieves a specific function. Mm-hmm. So copyright helps to protect an expression of an idea. Software per se. Okay, that means that it protects the source codes in the manner it's represented in the digital format or in a printout, that's considered to be an expression of an idea. The fact that it's reduced to source codes. In the old copyright law, it actually corresponds with literary work because it's written. So that's how copyright protects source codes because it's an expression of an idea. Patent rights, on the other hand, protects the system based on the idea, not the code itself. It protects on what function is this software trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. So people working in the software domain know that there's more than one programming language that you can use to achieve that solution. And that's exactly what you said earlier, Maya. You were saying that there's so many apps achieving the same thing. Like there's WeChat, there's Line, there's WhatsApp, all achieving the same thing. You're trying to communicate with another person on the online media. So there's different programming languages to achieve the same function. And if another developer uses a different coding technique to solve the same solution, to achieve the same solution, the developer is not violating the earlier person's source codes, earlier person's copyright, because that's a different version of a source code to achieve the function. So because the source codes are different for both products, there's no infringement, copyright infringement. So in that case, a person cannot rely on copyright law. And then everyone's now thinking, so why copyright it at all? It sounds so weak.
Mm-hmm.
Under the patent law, it's definitely a stronger right. And the reason being that if another developer develops the software using different programming language, but the function is similar to the earlier software, he can be restrained from developing the subsequent software as long as the features of the software infringe whatever patent claims the earlier person has drafted, has protected.
Right.
So the claims are, it's a document and there's claims and specifications and the protection is drafted in a way that it describes what the software is trying to achieve, what functions it's trying to achieve, what's the flowchart, what processes are in the software to achieve that function. So in that sense, the patent is a stronger right, because even though you use different source codes to achieve the function, you still catch the infringer.
Right. So patents provide more protection in that sense, even though the source code is not covered under a patent.
Yes, correct. So even though the patent is not protecting the source codes. So if the source codes are different, it doesn't matter.
Right. So the difference between copyright and patent is that under copyright, you can have a WeChat and a WhatsApp as long as they both use different source codes. However, if you have a patent and you have an Uber, GrabCar cannot exist.
Correct. Depends on how the patent is drafted. Yeah. That's a great example, actually. Uber and GrabCar. And there's so many other similar private driver services around through apps. It depends on, number one, how the patent is drafted. Sometimes the other apps can still circumvent that patent. So it really depends on how the patent is drafted. But yes, that's really what you've got it spot on, that if you've drafted well, other apps which are similar cannot exist. Right. And that's why you are actually looking for patent rights.
Right. So every app owner should seek to get their app patented in that sense.
Well, that's an ideal scenario. But then with an app world and app technology, sometimes it changes so fast and it's such a short lifespan of a technology. So sometimes patents are not the right sort of protection as well, because patent, it takes 4 to 5 years to get it granted. Once you file, it takes 4 to 5 years to have it granted in many countries. So it really depends on what's the lifespan of technology, what is the purpose you're securing a patent. Many clients also come and see us because they have investors who are only interested in putting their money forward if it's protected. Because what's going to stop the next person who's good in, next developer or programmer to come up with an app that's similar and take it forward? So the only way investors are very confident to invest is when the app is protected. Mm-hmm. So even though patent might not be, even though it's a short lifespan of technology, investors might not invest if you don't have a patent. So it really depends on the purpose you need a protection for.
So I guess on the most part, the main reason to get a patent is definitely protection of your revenue.
To protect copycats, yes.
So which types of apps are patentable?
All right, so software per se is not patentable. And that a lot of software fall into that domain. Let's take, for example, your app. Most phones now has an app where you can just use a calculator. That's mere crunching of numbers to develop to obtain a result. There's no various functions involved. There's no system creating a technical solution to a problem. So example of apps that actually achieve this and are patentable are Waze, for instance. So Waze is not a mere delivery of data. It's delivery of various data from different sources, and then the software actually provides the most optimized route with all of these data assessed and analyzed. And in that route itself, it gives you the time needed to get to one place to another place. So there's various solutions given to a technical problem. So because of that, Waze is patentable. Uber is another example of a patentable software, an app, and it was patented as well. So this is also because it's developed in a sense there's a system. It's like an environment. There's a lot of data coming from different parties, and the information is used to then generate a solution for the user. So when we actually draft patents for apps, it's very important to see whether does it work as a system and not just a software on its own. So if it works as a system, then in most cases, it's patentable.
And the fact that the GrabCar app is also out there means that they use different ways to achieve that purpose.
Yes.
Different system.
I haven't actually searched on whether Uber has patented their app in Malaysia. So patents go country by country as well.
I see.
And different country laws are also quite different in terms of how they allow software patents to be protected. Some are more relaxed than other countries, and some are more strict. In some countries, software patents are very difficult to be obtained. For instance, in US, software patents are more easily obtained than other countries. Japan, in 2002, revised their law to allow computer program claims directed to the software itself. Australia as well, it was a case decided in court, which then became a precedent to allow computer implemented inventions and business methods can be patented in Australia. So different countries have different ways. In Malaysia, there's no specific guidelines. A Malaysian IP office doesn't have a specific guideline on how software patents are examined. But because UK, EU and Australia are countries that we can rely on, their examination results are something that we can rely on in the IP office, it is most likely that software patents will be allowed based on the procedures in these countries.
Okay, I'm speaking to Geeta Kandaya from CAS International. We're talking about the IP rights of app owners and whether an app can be patented. More when we come back on Resource Center, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, it's Resource Center. Maya Tan here. I have Geeta Kandaya from CAS International here with me. Geeta is a barrister at law and she's director of the Trademarks and Design Division at CAS International. We've been discussing IP protection for computer and mobile applications. So just before, we were discussing how an app is protected internationally because patents can be filed in different countries. So if you wanted to be kiasu about it, you would file for a patent in different countries to get different kinds of protection depending on which markets you're in?
Correct. So depending on which markets you're looking at, a lot of companies that develop apps are also looking to sell it to US companies, which will then take it further. So US protection in the US will be one of the key markets that they look at, and Europe as well, because of where the market is as well.
Right.
Again, depending on what the app is and what function it achieves. Alibaba, for instance, in China, that's all done through an app as well. So it depends on what type of product it's a function it is. Like Uber, you want to protect it in most countries. So, but it's difficult to protect it in all the countries. It becomes a very costly affair. So you look at the key markets first, and then also strategize with your IP lawyer because there's various foreign filing routes that one can take. You can file it in Malaysia in 12 months, file a patent cooperation treaty, which is a PCT application, and then within 18 months, file the application in other countries that you're interested in. So that gives you pretty much 30 months from your date of filing in Malaysia to get funds, to get investors, to get the money to actually start protecting in other countries. So there's various routes to go about when you start looking at strategizing a foreign filing process.
Mm-hmm. And when you find a copycat, then you have...
If you have a patent, you will just then compare the app against the claims that you have in your patent. And if it is infringing, then you can sue them in jurisdictions that you have protected.
Just to backtrack a little bit, you know, what happens with, say, a mobile phone? You know, I'm guessing different components will have different copyrights and patent rights attached. The home button on the iPhone, for example, and the operating system is, again, a different thing. How does it work there?
So the home button would most likely be patented because there is a technical function there, and there's a device. It's a device as well. So it's not software per se. The fact that it constantly brings you back to the home, and in whichever page that you are in, it brings you back to the home. So it does achieve a technical solution, and it makes it user-friendly. So that would be a patent, most likely a patent, especially in the US, because most softwares are patentable in the US. And in terms of the operating system behind it, that would be mostly under copyright. Depends on what the operating system achieves. Because the underlying software, it's a software per se.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no specific function apart from enabling all these apps to work on it, enabling the user to browse. So it's not a system where it's patentable. So when you assess an app or a software, anything that you're using, Microsoft Word, for instance, that would be copyright protected because it's not so complex enough to be a patent. Patents, it's always about, is there a technical solution for a problem? So you're looking at, is there a system and there's a problem that's being solved?
And is it unique?
Yeah.
In that sense. But then how does the home button on the Android phones able to exist alongside this home button on the iPhone?
Oh, I see. Okay. It might have different ways it achieves its function, actually.
Yeah, it works differently.
Yeah, it works differently. And actually, that's a very good question because it might be that... So one thing is to have a patent. The other thing is that if you have a patent, it doesn't mean that it's the end all to everything because your competitor can always cancel your patent for the basis that it shouldn't have been patented in the first place. There's many reasons. It's vague. It doesn't have enabling disclosure. It's actually not inventive. It's not novel. It could be that it's not novel. So in this specific home button case, number one, we need to know whether Apple has actually protected it as a patent, and whether has it been cancelled by whoever else. There are other Android phones that have the home button since then. But either they've cancelled it or they have a way of circumventing that patent. You'll see patent wars very often. You'll see Samsung attacking Apple and vice versa, Motorola. So all of this is because they feel that the patent shouldn't have been granted in the first place for many reasons. That it's not new, someone else already produced the product earlier. Or that it's not your patent. I already have something. You are infringing my patents.
And once an app is created, going back to the expression of an idea thing, yeah, is it automatically created or do you actually have to file for it?
Right. Okay, so with copyright law, it is automatically existing. As in, you already have a right in whatever you have created if it falls under copyright law. You also have protection in other countries because Malaysia is party to a Bern Convention. And most countries who are member countries to this Bern Convention have protection for their IP rights, their copyright when it's created in another country. So like the software example that we say, if it's software per se, you only have copyright to depend on, and copyright's protection for expression of ideas. So the app owner does not actually have to go to the IP office and file for a copyright protection because it automatically exists. Mm-hmm. Whereas patents, you need to actually prepare documents. There's extensive documentation that needs to be done before it's filed and before you obtain protection.
In that sense, it's also like a trademark where you have to have distinguishing factors.
It's quite different from a trademark. Trademark's the brand, and that has to have distinguishing factors. For copyright, it has to be original. That's the main criteria, actually. It has to be original. It has to be your work. So it doesn't have to be creative. With trademark, it has to be distinctive. It has to stand out and not be a generic word. Earlier, Maya, you had a very good point that copyrights automatically exist. Now, because copyrights automatically exist, and let's go back to weighing copyright and patents. What should I do for my apps? Patents, the misconception everyone has that it's very expensive. It ranges depending on how complex your app is. It ranges between 5,000, some companies charge 10,000, so it really depends. It ranges between 5,000 to 10,000 ringgit to have a patent drafted. But copyright, it automatically exists, so why would you go for a patent? And then you have to weigh earlier what we talked about. Copyright is a very limited protection. Patents are more substantive protection against any competitors. So even though copyright is cheaper compared to patents, patents protects you further.
Mm-hmm. And also there's the added financial boost for app creators who want to sell to a bigger company in the US, for example, and they will only take it if it's patented, and that sort of financial value that's allocated to a patent as well.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. I mean, companies in the US will look at it. Number one, is it patented? Number two, they'll even assess the patent. Is it strong? When a patent's drafted, some patents can be weak. Mm. So the other question is it well drafted? So they look at that as well. The other thing about patents is they last for 20 years. And some in the app industry say that 20 years is way too long. The apps will be obsolete by then. But that's the consideration. So a lot of people sometimes do it to get investors, to get companies to trust them, to see that it is a very valuable app.
Is there any software that cannot be patented?
Yes, it's a very good question, actually. There are some specific exceptions provided by our patent law. Software per se, for instance, cannot be patented. The source code or mere instructions in a specific programming language cannot be patented. That you'll have to rely on copyright. Mere mathematical methods, example, software for calculating daily expenses or profit and loss, or the example I give you, the calculator that we use on a daily basis sometimes, those can't be patented. Methods for performing mental acts, example would be software for accepting consumer feedback, or various softwares, actually, you can actually just access information, just information providing softwares. Those also are not patentable. And methods of doing business. This is very common in the insurance industry. There are many various softwares for processing claims for insurance policies. These are also not patentable. So let's look at some examples to understand patent eligibility for softwares. It is actually a very gray area. Invention for auctioning goods. Okay, let's take that as an example. An invention for auctioning goods over the internet may not be patentable as an invention, though implemented by a general purpose computer. So there is a hardware and it's a software. So why isn't that patentable? It's a system. Sounds like a system. But it's not, because it's not solving a technical problem. It's merely a software for auctioning goods. This could be various software, various apps that you see out there where you can just purchase goods. It doesn't achieve any technical problem. Now, let's compare that. My next example might give you a better scenario of what I mean. So on the other hand, an invention for improving control of a car braking system by sensing multiple parameters in the vehicle. So there you have a software itself in the car, and then you have the hardware where it's actually the car braking system is the hardware. So that may be patentable because it solves a technical problem of reducing braking or stopping distances for vehicles.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's something that never existed before.
Yes. I mean, it always has to never exist before. It has to be new. But the softwares per se can also be new. So sometimes very difficult to differentiate them, especially when you say the word system. What is the system? But a system incorporates software and hardware, and it involves more than just merely assessing data. I think that would be the best example. Software per se always is a mere accession of data.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what advice would you give to an app owner, you know, in terms of seeking protection?
The main thing would be actually to probably try to get advice or read up by themselves, actually, on this area. There's a lot of material online on whether apps are patentable, when do you see a lawyer. When do you see a lawyer, the best is when you're developing the app. Because the system is patentable and not software per se, sometimes the app can be creative enough to make it sound like a system. So that's when we meet people who are developing apps, we tell them how to actually go about it. So it is patentable at the end of the day. So during the development stage will be a good time to get professional advice. And also, it's advisable that they assess the needs. What's the purpose of the needs? Many companies come to us because they need investors or they need grants, and grants don't come unless they have it patented. So sometimes it might not be suitable because of the lifespan of the technology, but it's suitable because you need it for other reasons.
Have I missed out on anything, or, you know, were there any questions that I didn't ask?
No, you've covered a really difficult topic, so kudos to you. Apps, it's such a great area, and it's widely spoken in IP language in most countries. And so the advice would be, again, for apps, app developers to know a bit more about it, about protection, and actually seek advice. Mm-hmm. In the early stage.
Thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Maya.
Geeta Kandaya, Director of the Trademarks and Design Division at CAS International. This has been Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.